Welcome to Tahoe Project. This is Michelle Sweeney, your host, and I'm talking today with Alan Biaggi. This is part two of our conversation. So, Alan, you talked about the Tahoe team that was sort of an anomaly in terms of the operational way that the state of Nevada approached natural resource issues. And it's been a real success. And so thus the notion that operational approach would be replicated in the sage-grouse issue. Getting back to Tahoe and water quality, what are some of the things that Tahoe team points to as in its record of success at Tahoe?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that a part of agencies that were not part of the Tahoe team is the Division of Environmental Protection. And one of the reasons why it wasn't included in the Tahoe team is that it has some fairly unique regulatory responsibilities that may not mesh well and could potentially conflict with the roles and responsibilities of the Tahoe team. So, you know, I want to separate those two out a little bit. I think when you look at the Tahoe team, the real positives that they've made are things such as forest health. There's been huge strides made on public and private lands in terms of thinning our forests and reducing fuel loads to prevent that catastrophic wildfire and the water quality impacts that can occur after that. They have done great work on the wildlife perspective, and they've done great work through the Burton-Santini Act in acquiring parcels that would normally have been developed but were purchased and reside within the Division of State Lands and are managed by them. So that those are parcels that historically could have been built on, but now are not being built on, and Division of State Lands has the stewardship. So they have, I think, somewhere around 400 or 500 of those parcels throughout the Nevada portion of the basin. They still need to maintain them to make sure that they're not causing water pollution control issues, that their forest health is maintained, and those kinds of things. Continuing on the water quality side from the Division of Environmental Protection, I think that there's been some great strides made with NDEP working with the Nevada Department of Transportation in controlling sediment and runoff off the roadways, off of our urban environments, and NDOT in particular has been very good and very aggressive in doing EIP projects for their roadways. We were always very proud to have them as a partner and been very good. NDEP put in very stringent water quality standards and has been aggressive in maintaining permits for stormwater runoff and those kinds of things, and keeping on top of that. I think one of the really interesting things that occurred that people tend to forget about that happened in the 1960s is that there was a decision on both the Nevada side and California side that all wastewater effluent had to be exported outside of the basin. Much of that goes into Nevada from Incline Village, from the South Lake and Douglas County, goes down into Carson Valley where it is beneficially reused. And there was a lot of controversy with those pipelines. There was a lot of controversy about the way the effluent was reutilized within those areas. But ultimately, it's become a huge success, and the lake is much, much cleaner because of it. So I think those are some really important things that have happened on the water quality front over the last 20, 30 years.
So on the water quality front, one of the things I've been talking to people about in the course of my interviews is the total maximum daily load, the mm-hmm. program that goes with it, the science that's behind it. And so continuing in that vein from those other conversations, how does the TMDL change or advance the way that the water quality pursuit is pursued in Tahoe?
Well, you know, I think the TMDL program is very good. I think we've seen it work elsewhere in Nevada, and, you know, essentially what it does is it scientifically evaluates the water body, identifies what the primary threats are to that water body, determines the assimilative capacity of the water body, and gives you an indication of numerically what you have to do in terms of maintaining that water the water quality at its current status and how best to improve it. Of course, for the TMDL at Lake Tahoe, the primary impact to water quality has been identified as fine sediments from urban runoff. That's a huge step forward because previously I think we were doing more of a shotgun approach and seeing kind of almost by trial and error what works. We now know through a rigorous scientific process where the problems are, and we can focus our efforts and focus our scant resources to that end. So that's why I think it's so important the TMDL is in place, that it's moving forward, that we can focus our efforts and we spend our money wisely on those EIP projects that are going to contribute to the reductions of fine sediments.
And what, in your view, I realize now you're retired, you're not on the front lines of negotiating MOUs and things, but from your perspective, what are the obstacles or the challenges inherent to the TMDL or its implementation?
Well, I think the obvious one is that much of our infrastructure here at Lake Tahoe is dated back to the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. And there was not an eye toward environmental protection or water quality in putting those infrastructure systems in. So I think retrofit or identifying where those problems are and addressing those problems of our infrastructure is critical in order to get a handle on this. The problem is that retrofit is much more expensive and much more difficult to do than if you're building it from scratch the first time. Also, there's some social and political implications to it as well. People perceive retrofit and redevelopment as perhaps a negative connotation in some respects, that it's not perceived as being environmentally sensitive. And there's a lot of conflict in doing redevelopment. But I think that that's something that is necessary. We need to recognize that the infrastructure, many of the roads at Tahoe didn't have curbs and gutters, which is really a basic component to a normal urban environment and to water quality protections. So those are the kinds of things that are going to have to be done to make the strides we're going to need to protect lake water quality for the future.
This is the close of part two in the three-part interview with Alan Biaggi. Thank you for listening at TahoeProject.org.